This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
The Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
You know, it occurred to me today that Senator Dick Durbin is famous because we still like gossip in this country. Gossip, we love gossip. And the whole idea of I heard him say this, he said this, the other person saying, no, I heard it differently. I didn't hear that. I heard a different version of this. It's gossip. It's high school. And Dick Durbin is now famous for basically saying what he heard, even though other people heard something different. It's a little bit immature, if you ask me. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. CBSPhilly.com/Rich and on Twitter at Rich Zioli. But I'll tell you what people really care about, which is the economy. They don't care about Dick Durbin and what he might have heard. I mean, I know that the people like Cory Booker do. Because if you're Senator Cory Booker, here's the deal. You want to be president and you're running for president. And today was a giant opportunity for you to grandstand, as Cory Booker did in a big, big way. We'll play that audio for you a little bit later in the show. Yeah, he wasn't going to let Phil Murphy take all the attention from him. Phil Murphy is inaugurated as New Jersey's governor, but Booker's in D.C., and he's not happy about that, so he's got to make it known. He's got to rattle his drums and make a bigger noise, so to speak. So that's what Booker did today, going after the Homeland Security Secretary. His eyes weeping and tearing, and tearing weeps and weeps and tears of rage or something. And then this is the point, though, right? This little game that's being played that is going on Capitol Hill around what the president said, what he might have said, what he didn't say. I heard this word. I heard that word. I heard it could have been an inflection. Other people were cursing in the room. Maybe this guy heard it. Maybe that guy heard it. I saw Dick Durbin on an interview with Jake Tapper today. A sit-down, long interview with Jake Tapper. And Jake Tapper sat there with him, and you would think that what Durbin heard was basically the guy on the grassy knoll confessing to killing Kennedy. It was that riveting, the way that Jake Tapper was grilling him. So you heard the word and it came, the inflection of the word and the depth and the tone and the baritone of the it's a word, man. It's a word. But again, the stock market breaks records today, and black unemployment's the lowest it's been. A lot of great economic news. So you have to then figure out another way to motivate people, so they go back to the old, he's a racist playbook. He's a racist, and that's what they have going for him, that he's a racist. That's what they say over and over and over again. Problem is, though, it's really not working to the degree to which they wanted it to work. Because if black unemployment's the lowest it's been, and you don't see any policies that are going after black Americans in a way that's negative, then you have to turn around and go, okay, well, if he's a racist, then prove that he's a racist. And then they say, immigration. Now immigration is how he's a racist, because he doesn't want everybody in. He doesn't want everybody in America who wants to be here in America. And DACA, he's a racist because now he's appealing a judge's ruling on DACA. All right. Last week, I had on an expert about this, and the expert said, constitutional law professor, who said the judge's decision, this district circuit court judge up in California, shocking, this judge, his decision to order the president to reinstate the DACA program was so absurd and unconstitutional and outside the realm of any sort of jurisprudence, or certainly any adherence to what the executive powers are supposed to be on the issue. Ordering the president to implement a program that he feels is unconstitutional, of which this program was instituted by a previous executive. So it's not even a matter of he's ordering the president to enforce the law. He's ordering the president to enforce a program put in place by a previous president through executive action that's been challenged in court, and that this president, this executive, finds to be unconstitutional. And instead of the judge saying, well, the last guy used what he considered to be his executive prerogative to put it in, this guy can now use his executive prerogative not to put it in. This judge says, no, forget that. I'm ordering you to put it in anyway. That's remarkable to me. It's remarkable, but it's cheered on by the left. It's cheered on by the left because, hey, he should have to put that in, that unconstitutional executive action. He should have to be forced to put it in, even if he, as president, feels it's unconstitutional. So today, the Trump administration, rightfully so, appealed that judge's decision. And it comes down to a very, very simple premise, which is, do our courts decide immigration policy? Do our presidents decide immigration policy? Or does the Congress decide immigration policy? It's a very simple question. The limits on the executive's power here are supposed to be restrained. There's a reason for it. Yes, the president has lots of powers on a temporary basis to keep out classes of people, to let people in. These are all temporary powers that the Congress has given him over the years. He can't unilaterally make law. He is, however, supposed to unilaterally follow the law. Now, I'll show you this little game that's being played here, and I'll show you why duplicitous it is. So there's a man, very sad story, very, very sad story about a guy who's been in the country for a long time, since he was 10 years old, but he's illegal. You know, he's brought here illegally when he was 10. And so he's been living in Detroit, and he's got two kids, and he's got a wife, and he's not a criminal. He's done nothing illegal except for being in the country illegally, which, you know, his parents brought him here when he was 10. So they deported him today. And it was very sad. I was very sad at the airport. It's sad because this is leaving kids, you're breaking up a family. It's the exact kind of heartbreaking, heart-wrenching story you'd hear. And it's been playing all over the media. Now, first of all, this is not the first time this has happened. It happened under the previous administration, too, where people are deported and they have family members. And sometimes they're even married to an American citizen. And that's a very sometimes heart-wrenching situation. But it is also the law, and it's a question of, does Congress want to change that law or not? Congress has the prerogative to do so, but the executive does not. My point is, I want you to hear the difference in language on this point. So this morning on all the shows, they were going on about how cruel Trump is that his DHS deported this guy. How cruel he is, even though that's the law. Then on the flip side, they say how cruel he is that he's not implementing DACA. Okay? Now, the difference, of course, is one of two things. Number one, if you're somebody of the left, the law is whatever you want it to be. So if it's not a law that Congress has passed, you make it up. Just make it up from the executive branch. Just write, pen in the phone, write an executive order, and boom, you have your law. Congress won't cooperate, give you amnesty, so then give amnesty. Just use your executive prerogative, give amnesty. You just create the law as you go, and then on the flip side, you just choose to ignore laws you don't like. You just choose to ignore them. So instead of deporting people as per the law, forget it. Don't worry about it. I'm not enforcing that law. Now, presidents have a certain amount of what I would call executive, let's say, deference, right? When it comes to these matters, much like a prosecutor has discretion, the executive has as well. But not in mass, right? Not in mass. Can't just turn around tomorrow and say, I tell you what, everybody, all of you, however many are here illegally, 11 million, 40 million, whoever, you're all staying. Everybody stay. DHS, hands down. Put your guns down, hands down. The border's open. Come on in. Presidents can't do that. I hope to God we never get to a place where we want them to do that either, because then it's no longer a republic. Then at that point it is a monarchy, a dictatorship, everything that we're supposed to fear about the Trump presidency, then that's what we've become. So on the one hand, he is this ruthless, tyrant, fascist dictator who is going to ignore Congress and ignore the courts and just take matters into his own hands. On the other hand, when his executive branch enforces the law that's on the books, they're angry that he's enforcing the law that's on the books. They want him to just ignore the law. So the law says you're here illegally. They have you. You have no legal reason to stay under immigration law. You're deported. That's the law. He enforces the law. They say don't enforce the law. It's mean. But isn't that what dictators and fascists do? They don't enforce the law. They make up their own laws. They write orders, and then they also say, well, I'm ignoring that particular law. Now, yes, on an individual case-by-case basis, yes, the executive has a certain amount of prerogative. True. But then if you ignore the law for this person, and then that person, what about that person, this person, that, the next thing you know, you're granting amnesty to millions of people, which is not what presidents are supposed to do. That's what Congress is supposed to do. So on the one hand, they're angry at him because his executive branch is actually following the law. On the other hand, he's a dictator who's not going to follow the law. On the one hand, a judge is saying, you better implement DACA, even though you think it's unconstitutional. The president turns around and says, I don't think the chief executive, I don't think the president has the ability to do this under the Constitution. Congress has to deal with DACA, not me. Congress does. And the courts say, we don't care. We're ordering you to do it anyway. The administration appeals that ruling on the basis that it's completely unconstitutional, and the left screams and says, no, you have to implement DACA. You have to do it, even though that law was going around Congress. You see how murky this is? There's a simple answer to all of it, by the way, which is just that the Congress deals with immigration and then passes a law. I mean, that's just the simple way to do it. But it's remarkable that we are at this place where, you know, a person gets deported and we act as if it's the first time it's ever happened in this nation's history. It's not. And yes, it could be sad. It's sad when people go to prison and they have little kids and families are ripped apart. There's all kinds of very sad stories under our laws. The question is, are they going to be enforced or not? And if you don't like the laws, change the laws. I mean, there's a simple prescription for this. But this idea of just ignore the law if you don't like it, or if the law seems mean, just ignore it. Just tell everybody to walk away and to pretend like it's not on the books. The system can't hold like that. And that's exactly what DACA is. Under the present configuration and the executive branch, that's exactly what it is. It's a previous president turning around and saying, Congress won't get off their butts, I'm going to do it myself. And then that's something that philosophically, fundamentally, conservatives disagree with. The president does not have that power. And this is what I always laugh at when you hear the arguments that Trump's a fascist dictator, it's a totalitarian dictatorship we're careening towards, and he wants to ignore the will of the legislature, ignore the will of the courts. DACA is the very example of that. It's the very example of just going around the legislature and just making law from the Oval Office. And this judge, it's the very example of the courts overriding the executive and just saying, hey, do it anyway. Even if you don't agree with it, even though it's unconstitutional in your opinion and it's just an executive action, not the law, do it anyway. We're telling you to do it. The simple answer here is to just respect the different branches of government and then just let them do their job. That's just a simple answer. Just let them do their job. But then we get back to what I think is a very, very glaring secret here. Sad situation about that guy who's deported today in Detroit. Very sad. And yet the Democrats don't really seem to care. Because this is a great issue for them, they think. They think this is their leverage. They think this is their issue. Which is why they're not agreeing to anything with regards to DACA. They're too busy yelling about words and curse words. I mean, the true political situation of where we are today is that when the politicians grandstand about guys like this man in Detroit who were deported, and they grandstand and how cruel this is, and Trump is so cruel, they're just following the law that's on the books. Just following the law. If you don't like the law, change the law. You have that prerogative as a legislature. But isn't it much better from a political point of view to be able to have those heart-wrenching stories? To be able to show the families ripped apart and to show how mean Trump is and the fear hanging over the children and the fear hanging over. Isn't that a much better political story for them? Because if we're talking about that and you're talking about curse words in the Oval Office and you're not talking about the economic news, you're not focused on how good of a job he's doing on the economy and the other areas and how the taxes are working and the deregulation's working. All of the parameters around capitalism are in place, the guardrails kind of keeping the economy moving once you just get government out of the way. And then if you agree on DACA or even agree to some sort of substantial immigration reform, maybe the kind that even would have let that guy in Detroit stay today, you lose that issue. You have no issue. Elizabeth Warren doesn't have the issue. Chuck Schumer doesn't have the issue. Nancy Pelosi, and certainly not Dick Durbin. And they can't run around and scream racism anymore. And they can't run around and scream that the president hates people and he's a big old meanie. They can't do that anymore. Which is why I'm telling you there will not be a deal on DACA, because they will not concede. They'll use the wall as an excuse. They'll use E-Verify as an excuse. They'll use ending chain migration as an excuse. All things that they previously supported as a party, as an excuse to not lose the one political issue they have, that this heart-wrenching man who just won't follow the law, except when he does follow the law, is just a complete and utter meanie pants.
Rich Cioli, 3 till 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.